Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, part of what we're going to talk about is education. Ray Hager has the rundown.
Thanks, Sam. Today's guest is the history-making assemblywoman, Teresa Benitez-Thompson of Reno.
And coming upon the power panel today, Stacy Woodbury and Chris Wicker. It's all coming up next from Carson City on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
When it comes to state-of-the-art energy, Nevada is the right state to be in. Efficient network, cleaner energy resources like solar, wind, and geothermal, and technology that will help you save energy and money at home. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts, so you can succeed, so you can plan, so you can dream. And always remember, press on.
This segment is sponsored by Forte LLP, a locally owned economic development and government relations firm. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are delighted to welcome back to the program Assemblywoman Teresa Benitez-Thompson, who just gave birth to a brand new baby.
Yeah, she's 3 weeks old, and she's precious, and I'm very lucky to have a husband who is keeping her well cared for at home while I finish up the session.
Well, how much time did you take off? I mean, you were gone for like 5 minutes.
I took a full week off and then came back to vote on the last 2 days of the first committee house passage because I wanted to make sure I honored my constitutional obligation and showed up and make sure that my constituents had a representative who was pushing the red or green button for them. I took the rest of the week off and then was back full time that following Monday. But I am taking the month of June off just to be with her. So I'll get my maternity leave. It's just parceled out a little bit.
Well, congratulations to the Thompson family.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You know, Teresa, about your birth, you've made history because you're the only the second person in the history of Nevada legislature to give birth during the session.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily recommend it because it's not a cakewalk. It is certainly a juggling session. Any working mom can tell you that trying to balance work and a family is much harder than it looks. So, but if you happen to end up being elected and you happen to end up expecting a child, which is always a blessing, you can make it happen. It's absolutely workable.
Okay, now the first person to ever have a baby while in session was Assemblywoman Olivia Diaz of Las Vegas. Of course, this happened the last session. She told me the way that she kept up while she was gone was through social media. You know, you can watch all the committee hearings and floor sessions on the legislative website. Did you find yourself keeping up through social media also?
Absolutely. I watched floor session from home. I would Facebook to constituents and those who follow me on Facebook or Twitter saying, I'm watching government affairs right now. I'm not there, but here's where you can watch too. With modern technology, it is so easy to engage and interact and to follow legislation, to follow committees. So I feel like I didn't miss a beat.
That was good for your constituents, of course.
Everyone should do it. Everyone should do it. Log on and watch online. See what we're doing. It's really easy.
Do you get feedback from people who are doing that?
I will. A good example would be yesterday I had a Facebook posting about one of my bills that was up. Had constituents comment on the bill, which is great because I always want feedback from constituents. And, you know, people are so busy through their everyday life that unless you can give them one button to push to let them watch a video of the hearing that's happening, it's hard for them to engage. So that clicking one button saying, just push here and you can watch us live in real time, I think it makes all the difference in the world in terms of engagement.
All right, let's get to some serious issues here. Okay. Let's talk about the margins tax, the teachers' margin tax. Do you support that?
You know, we haven't contemplated any legislation like a margins tax this session. We did last session, and last session I served on the taxation committee, as I do this session, where we tried to find a policy that would work, and where we had lots of different stakeholders come forward during the public hearing to say, these are aspects and sections of the bill that are problematic. These are aspects and sections of the bill that would work. We haven't had such a hearing this session. I haven't seen any language about a margins tax this session. If it falls into my lap, I'll look forward to reading it.
But do you personally support the idea?
Well, I think it's not so much about the idea, but it's about how the legislation actually works. The bill last session was pretty thick. It had something like 56 sections in it. Each section could have a lot of subsections. So I think it's about getting a revenue system that works right, a revenue system that's fair, and something that's going to fund our needs. We absolutely have to have more money for education. We absolutely have to have more money for mental health. And that's only going to come by contemplating big revenue changes.
Okay, but how do you feel about the portion that says that even if a business is losing money, they're still going to have to pay that gross sales that gross tax?
So you're talking specifically about
the margins tax.
The margins tax, the ballot initiative. My apologies. I thought you were talking about
the general tax.
Yeah, general tax. So we did hear that bill in taxation, although we heard it. Although it's a ballot initiative, so. In reading it, there were things about that were problematic that we heard during public testimony. We contemplated that 2% limit. The bill that we contemplated last time was a 1% a tax. There were lots of people who said 2% is too much and burdensome. It sounded like from what I heard, 2% could be is probably too high. That could put too much of a burden on business. Mm-hmm. So I think we'll have to see what ends up happening when it's back to the voters again.
Now, Teresa, you are on the although you're the chairwoman of the Government Affairs Committee, you also sit on Assembly Taxation.
I do.
And one of the issues that I wanted to talk to you about is this Washoe school tax bill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, its purpose is to raise $20 million a year to help refurbish all the older schools in Washoe. And as you know, they're pretty old schools. But so far, it's had three different versions. Number one, that the school board would be empowered to enact the tax. Or number two, the county commissioners would be enacted to pass the tax. Or three, it would just be passed through the legislature with a two-thirds vote, which is really tough to get anyway. What version of the Washoe school tax bill do you prefer?
I prefer the one that we can get out of the legislature that's actually going to get money to the schools. And so there's lots of ways to slice it and dice it, as you saw. But to me, it's about the end product. It's about making sure that when I go back to my district and I'm picking up my daughter from Grace Warner Elementary School, which is one of these older schools that absolutely needs capital improvements out on the actual building, that I can look in the other parents' eyes and say, I voted for a bill, and that bill's going to get money into the school to make sure that infrastructure is safe for our kids. Lots of different forms it can take. For me, the bottom line is that it happens.
Do you prefer a different form? Would you like to see it go to the commission for a vote, or would you like to see the legislature vote it out?
I don't particularly have a preference as long as we get it done. I said during the taxation committee with conversations about whether or not the county commissioners should vote on it, and there was talk about getting their input. I don't need anyone else's input but my own. I know this is the right thing to do. I know pushing the green button to vote yes for these funds to get into the schools, it's what's most important. Who votes for it and how it happens is not as important to me.
Okay,
we need to get those dollars there.
And I don't think anybody in Washoe County would disagree with you, but Carol Velardo was very concerned about the unintended consequences of perhaps having the school board vote for this and how many other boards would suddenly come out of the woodwork and looking to have something enabling legislation like this.
And I appreciate those different types of concerns. I think that with the version of the bill that has the school board voting on it, the language is pretty tight so that we're not empowering all boards to be able to have broad taxing authority. We're looking very specifically at just the Washoe County Board having the ability to make this one vote. It's legislation that's very much specifically tailored to meet our needs in Washoe County and the problem that we have. So we've been very careful about making sure that we're not casting a wide net. This is just about Washoe County schools.
I just want to, you said something I just want to make clear, is that this is the legislation, if it goes to the school trustees, it would be a one-shot vote for these taxes. They would not have power to raise taxes in any other area.
That's right. Yeah,
yeah. All right, let's take a break. We'll be with Teresa Benitez-Thompson when we come back.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Pro Business Workers' Comp Company should be your partner. The Pro Group Customer Care Team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employees' safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
As the stewards of the land, it is our responsibility to grow our businesses while keeping a watchful eye on our environment. We do this at TRI with conscientious development decisions. For example, the TRI Water and Sewer Companies are designing a new wetland program to polish the waste effluent to a superior water quality standard. While biofuel companies like Fulcrum Bio and Advanced Refining Concepts are producing clean and alternative energy from landfill waste and natural products. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
This segment is sponsored by Forte LLP, a locally owned economic development and government relations firm. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Assemblywoman Teresa Benitez-Thompson. Two of the things that you brought up in the first segment, education and mental health funding. Mm-hmm. When people, it seems like throughout this entire session, education, that's where we're going to put all the money. But I don't hear people being specific, really, about where this money is going to be distributed and to what areas of education. Does it go for teachers' salary increases? Does it go towards fixing schools? Does it go towards paying administrators more money? Does it go towards changing the whole system? When we talk about when you talk about education, mm-hmm. what do you mean?
I mean about the fact that, first of all, the biggest step is just getting the money to get it funded. That in and of itself, during the session, is a big battle. It's a big battle. The money could almost go into any area that you want to because the need is so great, and you would be doing something productive. You would be making a change because we've had to cut so much that there's not one aspect of education that doesn't require funding. Now, we at the legislature we distribute the money, and then it's actually the school districts who decide specifically where money goes. So we don't have the direct say to say at the local level to say, you know, we're going to increase teacher salaries here in Washoe, and this is how we're going to spend the money in Clark. That's up to the school boards, but we need to get them those dollars.
Okay, but what about accountability?
Accountability? I feel really comfortable with the accountability measures that we passed last session. I felt like the topic of conversation last session was about accountability. We did a lot in terms of the teacher evaluations and how we changed the way that our teachers are evaluated. We did a lot in terms of, for those teachers who aren't a great fit with the teaching profession, to find ways to get them extra training or help counsel them into a new profession, and allowed ways for schools to do that. So I felt like we did a lot in terms of accountability. The session's about getting those dollars back in.
You know, Teresa, you are one of three Latina women that are in the assembly. Of course, yourself, Olivia Diaz, and of course, Lucy Flores.
And Irene Bustamante Adams.
Four, excuse me. Thank you. But, you know, last week there was a big debate about SJR 15, which would urge Congress to come up with comprehensive immigration policy. There was a wide debate, very strong debate about this, and of course, it easily passed your House. This is what. Why spend the time on SJR 15? Because if the state legislature of Nevada urges Congress to do anything, does it help the process in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I think it's a way to make a statement to our constituents about something that's important to us when it's a policy that we can't touch. Of course, immigration is federal legislation. We in the state of Nevada, as legislators, can't ever vote on that federal legislation, but I think it's a way for us to make a statement about something that's important to us. Something that I think that was important about that resolution is the bipartisan support that you had a lot of Republicans voting for it, a lot of Democrats voting for it, all of us saying in the state of Nevada, we really need comprehensive immigration reform here in our state. So please, at the national level, send us something that works.
Just real briefly here, unfortunately, because we're running out of time, one of the other topics you mentioned was getting money to mental health. Mm-hmm. What are the chances and who are the advocates for mental health beyond Mike Wild and HHS?
Oh, well, I feel like the department director, Mr. Greenlee, he has got an amazing challenge in front of him. I don't think you can find someone in the state who's more compassionate about the mental health community and creating an infrastructure that best serves them. It's really hard to do that without the proper amount of resources and funding to make it happen. But it's not all about funding. It's about a good system that ensures that people are being well cared for once they enter the mental health system. And I think that's been the topic of conversation this session of, you know, how does this process flow for folks once they enter and how they exit? So there's so much work to do in that area, and I feel like our level of awareness as a legislature this session is much broader because we just have so many more examples of how things can go wrong if we don't make the right commitment to these folks.
Okay, talking about mental health, can you give me your opinion on the patient dumping stories about Ross and Neal Hospital in Las Vegas, which of course have been published by the Sacramento Bee?
Once again, I think we have really committed individuals and professionals working in mental health. It's really hard to do a stellar job without the proper amount of funding and resources to take care of these people. And we're talking about a section of a community of people who almost need external brains, meaning that they need people to help manage and take care of every aspect of their life while they're getting better and while they're treating their illness. And that's hard to do without the right amount of resources. So I feel like we've got very well-meaning people. I feel like we can do a better job. I feel like we have to do a better job.
And unfortunately, we are way out of time. Thank you so much for being here. Again, congratulations on the baby. And we'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Every day I help people hurt in accidents. Do you know the compensation you're entitled to right now and in the future? Do you need my help?
Go lightly in Vanna. 222-3333.
Evergreen Carpet Care is the leader for Northern Nevada carpet cleaning services, and here's just a few of their satisfied customers to tell you why.
I'm pleased with their work, and I like their employees, and also, the price is right.
I would recommend Evergreen Carpet Cleaning because they're courteous, they're kind, they're professional, and they're very inexpensive.
For the ultimate in carpet cleaning and more, it's Forever Evergreen.
Insurance America, policies start at only $31 per month. What are you paying for car insurance? Oh, it's okay.
Oops. Auto Insurance America.
Wake up and come play.
Make something new.
Play dress up with us.
And get moving, too.
Watch all your friends and join the fun on NBC Kids.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And- And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Stacey Woodbury is here, president of Appearances LLC, and Chris Wichter is a spokesman for the Washoe Dems, renewed for another 2 years. That's better than TV, buddy. All right, so Ray, the big excitement of the legislature yesterday, the actor Nicolas Cage. Tell us what you know.
Well, Nicolas Cage came to the legislature. He was kind of squired around by Las Vegas Mayor Carolyn Goodman. His pitch was that the movie industry needs some tax abatements to make movies in Nevada. And currently, when you compare Nevada to other states, we don't give the movie industry the same kind of tax breaks that other states do.
Well, one of the things that I've heard in the past is that, you know, the other states like New Mexico are just giving away the farm, and it doesn't make any sense for Nevada to do the same thing.
Well, they say that you don't really get the return on investment for the breaks that you're giving, and I don't know how the legislature justifies that. People are apoplectic already over Apple, so I don't know how you do it, except I was just stunned to learn he lived in Las Vegas. I thought he was leaving Las Vegas.
Oh, no. He did at one time. He had a huge mansion in Las Vegas that I read was foreclosed. It was palatial. It looked like a set on the Kardashians.
Yeah, but it went down the tubes. Any thoughts on this, Chris?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of states that are paying a ton of money to buy business to come here, and I'd hate to see Nevada get on that roller coaster, and this strikes me as one of those kinds of things where you pay as much money as you ever hope to get out of the business, and it just doesn't seem to pencil out, and the people that have looked at it seem to say that it doesn't pencil out as far as the breaks you're giving versus the return you get. I think Aaron Ford, who's sponsoring it, I think his heart's in the right place, but it doesn't seem to work.
Ray, was there a major movie company that was behind this?
And not that I know of, Sam. You know, the thing about movies in Nevada, it seems like movie companies only come to Nevada when they have to. Like, for example, the Hangover movies in Las Vegas. Have you ever seen a bad movie that was about Las Vegas or in Las Vegas? I really never have. Way back to the original Ocean's 11 with Frank and Dean.
I think we have some unique scenery and that they can't get anywhere else on the Strip. And we do certainly in other places too, but definitely there. I don't know why we have to pay people to give them incentive to want to film it.
Yes, the Valley of Fire in Star Trek is one of my favorite ones. Okay, so Ray, the Democrats' tax plan is supposed to come out today.
Yeah, I thought it was going to come out yesterday, but it's supposed to come out today. I'm not sure that it will for sure, because this has been backed up a little bit. It has to do with the live entertainment tax, putting an 8% tax on things like the Electric Daisy Carnival in Las Vegas, the Night in the Country Festival in Yarrington, and of course the Burning Man Festival up near Gerlach. Those are the things that the state is trying to get targeted in this live entertainment tax.
I cannot wait to see the Burning Man lobby in the Nevada legislature. That is
no, I've
awesome.
Seen them, and they're all clean cut and really have nice suits on.
It's fairly corporate.
It is. And they asked me, they said, Ray, why don't you go to Burning Man? I said, well, I just don't want to.
The people I know that go to Burning Man wear suits in the day.
Well, as my wife went there, my father-in-law went there, my kids have gone there, I think it's all right. But the big question about this live entertainment tax is that I'm hearing from business people who run business operations that are smaller that are saying, you know, if you put this tax in, then what is basically a break-even proposition is going to make me go out of business.
Well, I think, you know, particularly at 8%, that has to be passed on to the consumer. I mean, I don't see how very many of those businesses can absorb that kind of cost without passing it on. But the plain fact is there's very few places to go to try to raise $300 or $400 million. You know, that's a small chunk of it, and of course, the mining, ironically, is kind of a small chunk of it, too. But, you know, it's the same thing with changing the modified business tax. It's those things will have to be passed on, I think.
It's a definite pass-through. I mean, I understand they're going to exempt nonprofits, perhaps, and small events or under 50 employees or something like that.
You know, I don't know. They were trying to get rid of those exemptions to get more tax money. I don't know where it came from. And I think this is why Steve Wynn was at the legislature. Of course, Steve Wynn of Las Vegas was at the legislature last week to to battle against this live entertainment tax because it was going to tax things in casinos. I don't know if that is still
right. And the thing that drives me crazy there is that the nightclubs, and that's one of the things he wants to protect, are making money hand over fist. I mean, he took out a porte cochere at Encore to put in an $80 million plus nightclub, and it's doing nothing but print money.
Yeah, but Sam, he said that the gaming industry in Nevada is not well.
Well, I couldn't disagree with him more, and I think that if you look at the investment on the Strip right now, there are very smart companies, very large companies, who wouldn't be sinking their dollars into a proposition that was failing. I think Las Vegas in the next 2 years is going to boom, perhaps like we've never seen before, and Genting leading the way with that. Just a quick last go-around here. I've got to bring this up. It's not Nevada, but, you know, what has a person got to do to not get elected in South Carolina? Mark Sanford re-elected, and then a landslide.
Yeah, it's frustrating. To me, it's not a surprise that he won. It's a very Republican district. But what's a surprise is the margin by which he did win. And like you said, if walking the Appalachian Trail doesn't sink your political career, then what does?
You know, I just think people are willing to forgive and forget. And, you know, this scandal that he had with the woman in Argentina when he was married, I just think it makes him look, maybe it looks makes him look a little bit more human and fallible, and maybe in the long run people like that in their politicians. I don't know.
Given our track record in Nevada, I'm not going to cast any stones.
I'm not naming names. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Hello, my name is Marshall with Marshall Realty, and I want to thank you for making us your number one short sale expert. And if you ever heard the word no from any bank, I promise you results and a fresh start. Call me today.
At Les Schwab, along with great prices, our tires come with the kind of protection most other places just don't give you, which includes free flat repairs, equal value replacements, pre-trip safety checks, and more for the entire life of the tire. With the other guys, you just never know. So why is free protection on your tires a good thing?
Lifetime protection. That's our best tire value promise. Les Schwab, doing the right thing since 1952.
News 4's Fact Finder team, winner of the Edward R. Murrow Award and now nominated for an Emmy. Our Silver State Secret stories shed light on legal loopholes and government secrets. News 4, your home for investigative journalism in Northern Nevada and the Sierra. News 4's Joe Hart, working for you.
Getting answers to the questions you ask the most.
Submit your questions to jhart@mynews4.com. And remember to put Ask Joe in the subject line. Ask Joe, weeknights on News 4 at 6.
If you've been injured in a car accident, a slip and fall, or any other life-changing calamity, how can you be sure you'll receive the best advice and help with your claim?
At Galloway & Jensen, we have the answers you want and the experience you need.
Insurance adjusters are trained to act like your friend, but they're also trained to take advantage of you.
We work for the insurance companies,
and we won't let them take advantage of you.
For your free consultation, call Galloway & Jensen today. The insurance companies have lawyers. You should, too.
Hi, my name's Marshall with Marshall Realty, and 2013 is the time to take action. There are so many programs that can help homeowners, but a lot of these programs are going to end this year, and they will affect you. So call me today for a free consultation.
On the next broadcast,
University Chancellor Dan Klage.